Good afternoon, everybody. Here in about a month, the United States will celebrate its 250th birthday. On July 4th of 1776, the leaders of this nation officially declared independence from England. Our government was formed, our country began to grow and prosper, states were formed, and over time, more territory was added, people settled, and more states were added to the Union. We had truly become one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. I remember the bicentennial celebration in 1976. Kind of dates me a little bit. It seemed like a big deal in this country, and it was celebrated all year long. I was 14 that year, and I remember a friend's mom had bought a car. It was a special edition Buick that was a Spirit of 76 Buick. I thought that was pretty patriotic. Now, we know the blessings this country has received was God's plan with the promise that he made to Abram in Genesis 12. So if you turn to Genesis 12, let's just review where this all began. Genesis 12, we'll read verses 1 through 3. Now the Lord had said to Abram, "Get out of your country, from your family, and from your father's house, to a land that I will show you. I will make you a great nation. I will bless you and make your name great. And you shall be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and I will curse him who curses you. And in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed." The incredible story of how God kept this promise through thousands of generations is detailed in UCG's booklet, The United States and Britain in Prophecy. And just a side note, all the booklets now are available in audio format, so you can actually listen to them if you don't have time to read. But very detailed explanation of our history. So we see that this nation was destined to be great, and even through the early settlers may not have understood that they were the recipients of God's promise to Abram, still believed that they were blessed and gave credit to God the Father. Where are we now as a nation? This country still enjoys liberty, but justice is kind of eroded, hasn't it? We are certainly no longer indivisible, as we have huge divides in politics, in moral, ethical, and spiritual beliefs, which has caused a great deal of trouble in this nation in recent years. The U.S. is still under God's protection and blessed with strength and wealth. For now, Jeremiah and Daniel both prophesied a time of trouble to come. Jeremiah wrote in chapter 30, if you turn to Jeremiah 30, in verse 7, "Alas, for that day is great, so that none is like it. And it is time, and it is the time of Jacob's troubles, but he shall be saved out of it." And Daniel, a few books over, Daniel 12, verse 1, "At that time Michael shall stand up, the great prince who stands watch over the sons of your people. And there shall be a time of trouble, such as never was since there was a nation. Even to that time, and at that time your people shall be delivered, everyone who is found written in the book." Clearly, God's blessing on this nation will soon be rescinded because of its disobedience. However, we know that his chosen will be spared the troubles that lie ahead. I do love this country and love living here as a member of God's church. To me, it's an extra special blessing. We have the freedom to assemble and to worship God. We can freely preach Jesus Christ's gospel message of his coming kingdom, a time when the whole world will be under God, and the right kind of liberty and justice will prevail for all. This promise isn't just for those in Britain and the U.S., but for all his people around the world. We are spiritual Israel, heirs to God's awesome kingdom. Where are we now as a church? If we look back just over the last 50 years since the bicentennial, we see that there's been some turmoil there as well. The church had grown to attendance of about 100,000 in 1976. Today, our numbers are much, much lower than that, even among all the churches of God. What remains the same is the church is still working very hard to fulfill the commission given to the church by Jesus Christ. That's detailed in Matthew 28. So if you turn to Matthew 28, verses 18 through 20, starting in verse 18 of Matthew 28. And Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, "All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Amen." The mission statement of the United Church of God is based on this scripture, and it reads, "Our mission is to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ and the kingdom of God in all the world, to make disciples in all nations, and to care for those disciples." This has been the focal point of the church that Jesus built from the very start, and will be until the time he returns. The church has seen some dark times in its history, but God has protected his people all over the world. His truth, his purpose, and his desire for the body of Christ to thrive spiritually cannot and will not change under any circumstances, because God is constant. I cited part of the Pledge of Allegiance to our flag in the early part of this message, which is a meaningful pledge, but our pledge to God the Father as a member of the united body of Christ, as one family under God, indivisible, with Christ as our King, should be where our most heartfelt allegiance is. So where are we now as individual members of his body? And we just completed the spring holy days, which requires us to look at ourselves, find the sin, get rid of it. It is a season of change and then renewal. It's important to evaluate ourselves all year long and to look more than just our sin. How are we contributing to our physical and our spiritual families? Are we focusing less on self and more on others? Are we doing whatever we can to be an active part of the vision of the church, which is the vision of the United Church of God is a church led by God's Holy Spirit, joined and knit together by what every member supplies, with all doing their share in growing in love to fulfill God's great purpose for humanity, to bring many children to glory. That's taken from Ephesians 4, verse 16, and Hebrews 2:10. So looking back can be encouraging because we can see our own growth. It can also be troubling if we look deep enough at where we have continued to fall short. Be careful not to dwell on our shortcomings. Keep them in mind, but don't let past sins trouble us any longer, because we have been forgiven. Learn from our mistakes, fix them, and move forward. Living up to our calling in every situation in life is essential, no matter how difficult. And Paul reminds us of this in 1 Corinthians 7. If you turn to 1 Corinthians 7, starting in verse 17 of 1 Corinthians 7, "But as God has distributed to each one, as the Lord has called each one, so let him walk. And so I had ordained in all the churches. Was anyone called while circumcised? Let him not become uncircumcised. Was anyone called while uncircumcised? Let him not be circumcised. Circumcision is nothing, and uncircumcision is nothing. But keeping the commandments of God is what matters. Let each one remain in the same calling in which he was called." God is constant, so we need to be constant. With Jesus in us, we will make it through. So stand firm and keep his commandments at all costs. Don't get tangled up in the issues that really don't matter to our salvation. We have been set apart from the world, and we must always remember that. We're given a stern warning in Revelation 18. Revelation 18, verses 4 through 5. "And I heard another voice from heaven saying, 'Come out of her, my people, lest you share in her sins, and lest you receive her plagues. For her sins have reached to heaven, and God has remembered her iniquities.' The rest of chapter 18 deals with the retribution as God avenges those that have suffered and paid the ultimate price for standing up for his way by brutally destroying them. So let's drop down to the fun stuff in chapter 19, verses 6 through 10. We see how the story ends and how our life turns out if we stay focused and we stay constant. Revelation 19, starting in verse 6. And I heard, as it were, the voice of a great multitude, as the sound of many waters, and as the sound of mighty thundering, saying, Alleluia, for the Lord God omnipotent reigns. Let us be glad and rejoice and give him glory, for the marriage of the Lamb has come, and his wife has made herself ready. And to her it was granted to be arrayed in fine linen, clean and bright, for the fine linen is the righteous acts of the saints. Verse 9, then he said to me, Write, blessed are those who are called to the marriage supper of the Lamb. And he said to me, These are the true sayings of God. And I fell to his feet to worship him. But he said to me, See that you do not do that. I am your fellow servant and your brethren who have testimony of Jesus. Worship God, for the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. This, brethren, is exciting, and the reason we must work hard to develop righteousness and purity. So to look back at the last 250 years of this country and the last 92 years since Mr. Armstrong began the modern day work, we can see how God has remained present and constant throughout. By looking back over our individual lives, we will see that his faithful presence, even during the roughest times, has always been there. I'd like to wish everyone an enjoyable 4th of July holiday, and as we share the birth of this great nation 250 years ago. But let's be sure to give God the credit for the rich blessings we enjoy and reflect on where we have been as a nation, as a church, and as a member of his eternal family, recognizing his constant presence throughout.